And welcome to the latest episode of Locked On Yankees. I'm your host for this particular episode, Larry Fleischer. I am a longtime media guy who has been around the Yankees for over a decade in various capacities. And I co-host podcasts on here or host them on my own. And tonight, we're going to talk about maybe the Yankees' first stress-free win of the year. Nice little 12-0 beating of the Marlins. But first, before we dive into all the numbers and facts and notes about what happened, now is a good time to tell you that if you'd like to advertise on the show, you can email us at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Once again, that address is lockedonnyy@gmail.com. And if you are interested in listening to the podcast and everything we have to say, you can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, anything else that I might not have thought about that plays podcasts. And leave us a rating and tell us what you think of the show and what you might want to hear in future episodes. Anyway, and now we're going to dive into this really a fun game. It was a long game. It took about 3 hours and 38 minutes. 3:48, excuse me. Whoa, even longer. Good thing they started at 6:39. I did not see every bit of it. I was watching some hockey and some other stuff, working from home on some other things. But, you know, after two rainouts, you might have wondered how the Yankees were going to come out with their bats be tired or rusty. And because 2 days, frankly, is an eternity when you play the sport every day. So, we found out quickly, they scored, they loaded the bases, scored two in the first, really could have scored more, but they never really worked the pitcher, and, really, it was pretty much over from there. I mean, it really was. It really isn't much you could say. I mean, it was a really impressive game. I mean, they would have had more if Stanton didn't foul a ball off into the upper deck where a fan made a very nice catch. But it really was probably best all-around effort from the Yankees. And given what that transpired on the six-game trip, yeah, it was needed. Yeah, you would have taken any win over the Marlins. You would have been fine with a 3-2 win, decided on some home runs, nice pitching from Severino, and some late-inning relief. But, man, you needed a 12-1 win. Not necessarily the worst way, but it was nice to have. And that's for, I mean, everything was clicking here tonight. Well, almost everything, but we'll get to what didn't click later on. Tonight, the 11-run margin of victory was their largest since June 10th, 2017. That was the game where they just roughed up Chris Tillman on national TV and really took it to him. And this is what they did to Caleb Smith, who was part of another trade with the Marlins. It was a season-high 12 runs, their most since also against Baltimore. They were 15 for 38 with 8 extra base hits, with a season-high 5 doubles, tied a season-high in home runs, which is actually amazing. It was not amazing, but I was surprised to read that on the Yankee post-game notes. But, you know, it really, this win was a lot of fun. Everybody reached safely. Aaron Judge keeps his hitting streak alive. His streak is now 12 games, which ties him for D. Gordon and Marcelo Zuna, though actually had a replay gone for Seattle yesterday, Gordon would have had the 13-game streak. And during this streak, I mean, it's not one of those where he's 1-for-4, 1-for-5 every night. He is hitting 400 with 14 runs scored, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, walked twice during this streak. And he also has another streak going, 17 straight home games, which ties his career best. And is also one shy of the record set by Carlos Beltran. So he's really hitting well in the second spot. Starting Didi Gregorius, even against the lefty, even though it was a relatively novice lefty and former in Caleb Smith, he hit two home runs. Third career two home run game. You remember he had one a couple weeks ago against Tampa. And he's now in a select group of shortstops for the Yankees who have two multi-home run games. Jeter did it in 2004. Smalley did it in 1982. Kubek did it in 1960. And Frank Grossetti did it in 1936. He also had 11 and 12 extra base hits, which is the seventh Yankee to collect it through the 15 games. Last was Alex Rodriguez. He has really been impressive. I mean, yeah, Judge is very, very impressive with how he's working the counts well and getting all these hits. But Didi Gregorius has really stood out in this. Others that stood out, Gary Sanchez, 3-for-4. He is starting to percolate. I think he fell to the victim of the a lot of one of those bad luck slumps where he was hitting things hard, many pitches hard, and just to the wrong guy. Guy was he positioned. He's probably, if you looked at it, his probably exit velocity was probably really great. But he just couldn't get going. But now he's hitting 444 in his last four games, which is 8 for 18, with two home runs and 10 RBIs. And to 10 RBIs in the last four games is pretty good. There really isn't much you can complain about. All right, maybe you want to nitpick on Giancarlo Stanton going 0-3. Nah. This was his first meeting against a former team, and we watched the post game, and he didn't really make much of a big deal of it. He did have a kind of a good point about it, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here. He says anyone, is glad to be in the big leagues regardless of the situation, and it's still the big leagues, and you're living your dream, and who knows? I mean, a lot of times with the Marlins, they have these young kids who become good in a couple of years, and who knows what's going to be happening. But this was a great night for the Yankees. They really did. They really just, it was nice to have a stress-free game. I mean, even Friday's game when they got up 6-1. Which I did not see. I was out, but I saw the score and I saw it going from 6-1 to 8-6, and I was like, "Oh man!" So to have some stress-free action for a change was pretty great for the Yankees. And not only that, you had another great outing from Luis Severino. He wasn't tipping his pitches. Or at least if he was, the Marlins weren't seeing it. Six innings, one hit, second scoreless start of the year. And he's the sixth pitcher to get his third win. First Yankee to get six scoreless innings since Michael Pineda three years ago. And the first Yankee to post two scoreless starts in the first 15 games since David Cohn 21 years ago. So that was nice to see. I was actually worried that he might get a no-hitter. I wasn't there, and those of you who know me know how much I hate seeing no-hitters at games I'm not at, but thankfully Miguel Rojas took care of that, but it was really a great night for Severino, and I really can't say much else about this game other than it was really great, and fun to see. I mean, yeah, blowouts can be boring, not really compelling, but for teams, it's nice to have some stress-free nights. And of course, the probably more interesting development, I guess, at least on the internet, was Gleyber Torres. About some time when the Yankees were on their way to demolishing the Marlins, there was some tweets about Gleyber Torres coming out of the game. It's not sure the internet speculated. Is he coming up here? Is he going to be playing shortstop? I mean, not shortstop, but second base or third base for the Yankees by the end of the week. And the answer is no. He's snow, which is probably a good thing. They just, I mean, I don't know if he's ready. I mean, yeah, he's hitting fairly well in Scranton, but he was pulled about midway through the game tonight. Some people thought he was coming up, but the bottom line is it was more of a throwing shoulder injury, which is certainly understandable. I'm sure Scranton played their game in similar conditions to the Yankees, where it was a balmy 53, and I'm sure it wasn't 53 degrees by the time this game ended. I mean, we will see Gleyber Torres today, but we're not going to see him. We're not going to see him soon now. I mean, it's just not right. It's just not the right time to see him. And, you know, yeah, second base, third base has been a little shaky of a proposition for the Yankees with Miguel Andujar not exactly hitting, even though he had an RBI tonight. He's up to 194. And Tyler Wade, who did not start this game, hitting 094. And Neil Walker hitting 188. Ronald Torres actually started. He's hitting 385. So, yeah, there's not a need for Gleyber Torres yet. But, you know, it was kind of funny to see people speculating that that's why he was coming up. And keep in mind, Wednesday would be the day to where his service time would kick in. Would kick in similar to what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant a couple years ago. He had two at bats. He had two at bats before coming out, but Brian Cashman told reporters he was removed because he had back stiffness on a 48 degree night, so it was actually 5 degrees cooler there. This came after he was named the International Player of the Week by hitting 385 with a home run and 10 RBIs in his first 10 games, where he's among the leaders in total bases and RBIs in the International League. Now, if the Yankees waited till Wednesday to promote him, he would have spent 20 days in the minor. And as a member of the 40-man roster that delays his free agency an additional year to following the 2024 season, which actually gives him 7 years of control. But, you know, the Yankees, I don't think the Yankees are about that. Gleyber will be here when the Yankees feel he's ready, and he's not. But we just hope that the back stiffness is not anything to really be concerned about. He's really concerned about it. I mean, it's actually funny. One of the local beat reporters tweets this, the guy named Donnie Collins. Take this for what it's worth, but I saw someone retweet a report that Gleyber Torres is injured. I would take that with a grain of salt. Never heard of that reporter person who reported this, and I've been around a long time. So, Gleyber Torres will be here, just not Thursday. So don't start speculating on what his home run call might be. We'll see him when we see him. And, yeah, I mean, there's not much else we could say about that other than that we are looking forward to having him up here when he comes up here. And finally, we're going to touch upon another segment. We talked about Stanton's home run ball going hooking foul. And, yeah, he did not contribute much. He's 0 for 3 tonight, and he's hitting .210. And yet he heard some more boos. I get it. You pay money, you go to a game, you want to see him hit his prodigious home runs every time you go. I mean, yeah, you have that right, but is it really necessary to boo the guy? I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, he'll hit. He went 0 for 3, 2 strikeouts tonight. Heard some boos when they were up big in the 7th inning. But, I mean, it's not really necessary to boo the guy, is it? I mean, yeah, you want to see what he's doing. You want to see him. He's a star. You come to see home runs, not strikeouts. But strikeouts are part of the deal with him. And he was just a bit early on that swing, that foul ball in the first inning. And he showed some good signs on the road trip by hitting fairly well. I don't remember the exact details of that, but he hit fairly well. And he's going to be fine. So everybody needs to relax and remember And instead of booing Stanton, you can listen to us on any podcast network, iTunes, Stitcher, and anything else that I might have left out. And also, instead of booing Stanton, you can, if you're interested, you can advertise with us on LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. That address, as we've, is LockedOnNYY@gmail.com, and that is another episode of Locked On Yankees. It's a fairly routine, cut and dry 12-1 steamrolling of probably the team that's going to be the worst team in baseball, other than the Detroit Tigers. Or, and we look forward to Yankees winning tomorrow night. Then we'll look ahead to a very interesting, intriguing series against the Toronto Blue Jays, who are hanging in there with the Reds, not hanging in there with the Red Sox, but right behind the Red Sox. But we'll delve into that in future episodes of Locked On Yankees. I'm Larry Fleischer, and thank you for listening, and good night.